Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Soccer Speakeasy. Today is Monday, the 29th of April, 2024. It's just after 1 o'clock in the afternoon as we begin to record. I'm Mike Arace. Thank you for joining us. Please go to dispatch.com and visit all the fine work done by our excellent crew beat writer, Brianna McKay. She's on the left of me, and on the right is, of course, the flanker. You were left-footed, weren't you, Carl?
Yeah, I was.
Are so you why not are you on anymore?
The right side? Close to the door.
Or is Patrick to go? Patrick's a beer tender on the other side. That would be Patrick to Podfather Flaherty, and of course, Kyle Robertson. Let's get to it. Saturday, the string of ties, I think, is causing, there's some bubbling frustration among the public, I think. I'm feeling it out there. You know, my neighbor's telling me about subreddits and the Twitterverse. And as ZZ Top said, I heard it on the X. So there's a little...
But they haven't lost, right? Five, was it? How many? Six?
Okay, let's get to it. They draw with Montreal, a good team,
yeah,
with already a couple of notable victories. The quality wins for the Montreals include... Well, they had a draw at Orlando. They defeated the Cincinnati's and then beat the Messiamis, yeah, there in Miami.
I like that.
And so, you know, this is a good team, and they know how they played well, yeah, on the road. And, of course,
well coached.
Kyle, yeah, Laurent Courtois, we'll get to him in a second. But Kyle, the first thing I noticed is they had, I think they even had their substitutes and trainers on the back line at the start. I mean, there was like at least 20 guys back there.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I think everyone knows what they were doing and what they were getting ready, yeah, for. So, I mean.
And they countered.
Right.
Well.
Yeah.
There,
yeah,
were some scary,
yeah,
moments for the crew in the, yeah, first half. And it wasn't.
But they struggled, though. They
wasn't
struggled.
The finest crew first half.
No, it was first time since 2021 they didn't record at Shaw. And it's just, wow, they looked afraid to go into the box. And Nancy said after the game that we just weren't attacking the box. You had a younger front line, too. And Alex Montan, Jason Russell Rowe, and Marino Hisdroza. So it was a different front line than you're used to seeing in Columbus as well.
You know, I wasn't that. I watched the game at home, mm-hmm, and I wasn't that put off by the first half. I mean, I know the coach wished they were more aggressive, mm-hmm, when they got in the final third. Oh, okay, I get that. And
is
stuff.
That because of the starting lineup or what they did Wednesday? Are you just watching?
No,
you, just,
you see this, yeah, rotation. I want to see these players play.
Right, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm, and you know, they obviously, right, heavy rotation because they're playing Monterey on, yep, Wednesday, and we'll talk about that in a second. But, like, they played a very good second half. By all rights, it should have been at least 2-0 or 3-0. Little bad luck, and you know, the streak continues. I think it's the length of the draw streak that, mm-hmm, that lends a little more impetus to the frustration. Is that fair to say, Brianna?
Yeah, it's 5 games in a row now, draws in MLS. They were on a 6-game draw streak until their win against Monterey, and it's just, yeah, it's weird. And also a scoreless draw is very,
especially, yeah, for the crew. Yeah.
For the crew is a big thing. But I have to say that what I was most impressed about is when they came out in the second half, they got like 4 shot attempts, yeah, in the first 5 minutes. And that one by Hinestroza, the first one, was just,
yeah,
off,
yeah,
a little high, like a couple of feet lower, and it would have been in.
Kyle, your view of that, I'm sure you watched the replay saying how high did he have to get this up? Because, yeah, he was in tight. He had a lot of net, yeah, to shoot at, yeah, but was the goalie, did he have to change the shot angle, or was it just he blew the shot?
I think he blew the shot. I mean, I think he'd probably want that one back, but you know, then later in the second half, Max had that one that almost went in too.
Arston, yeah,
yeah, from the, mm-hmm, from the right side, and the goalie made
that was a hell of a save.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was really, yeah, he said after the game, he was, yeah, really frustrated with that one.
That was, well, yeah, sometimes they, yeah, make a good save. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it rains,
mm-hmm,
you know? I don't know. I didn't walk away from that telecast going like,
no,
oh, this team's, yeah, in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think people should realize it's a rotation right now. You're in a weird stretch. It's how many
games? Three
games in eight days. And they're lucky they're coming up on a bye. But it's just there's a lot going on. I don't think it's not ideal. You don't want that. You want to at least score a goal. But and especially going into that match, try to build momentum. But like I don't think it's that big of a deal going into Wednesday.
True crime lovers are always looking for new and engaging content.
The Already Gone podcast covers stories from Michigan and the Great Lakes region. Cases you haven't heard before, like the Mayo Hunters or the murder of 16-year-old Justin Mello, plus better-known cases like the death of Jane Bishara and Illinois' own Lori Dann. Already Gone started in 2016, so there is a big back catalog for you to enjoy. Find Already Gone on Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, or your favorite podcatcher.
The most important thing for me was seeing Ramirez back. That I think that's going to be a huge move forward, especially in Wednesday. If you have to get a goal late or something like that, you know, you can bring him in and hopefully he can give you a good 30 to 40, you know.
Yeah.
If you need, if it goes to, does it go straight to PK? No, it goes overtime, right?
Yeah, you would get overtime.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of like, you know what happened in Cincinnati a few years back where, you know, they had to use all 120 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that was good to see him finally come back from his little, but it was over a month.
I was talking to him after the game. He said it was, I think, a grade two hamstring injury. And he said it was supposed to take a little longer and he was ahead of schedule on his injury.
Now that is we haven't seen a player stretchered off in a while. I can't remember. Yeah. And Mo Farsi was stretchered off Saturday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was stretchered off. I do have to say he was in the locker room. He looked like he was in good spirits. He was walking on his own. No issues. It didn't look like. I didn't get a chance to speak to him, but he looked okay. And from what Nancy said, it was a groin issue. So I haven't heard anything about him being available for Wednesday yet, but
he took a knock on the leg and that was a yellow card, right?
Did it lead to a yellow? I think it was just a foul. But the thing for me is he was injured earlier in the season. I've been talking to him about just his ankle because he injured his right ankle back in the first game against Atlanta, and he's been saying to me that it's not 100% healed. So I didn't, from the press box, I couldn't tell if it was his ankle again or then it turned out to be his groin.
All right. Okay, moving on now. The Crew, prior to Saturday night's game, posted what was an impressive victory with their A team against Monterey in the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. It was the first leg. So the aggregate score, the two-legged series is 2-1 right now. And that was at the lower.com stadium heading to Monterey now Wednesday. Are they already down there, Vienna? It's Monday at 1 o'clock. Are they taking off? They're leaving today, I imagine.
I have to check.
Don't know. Yep. Okay. That's all right. But they'll get there.
Yeah.
And Wednesday night. And Kyle, this is
huge.
I mean, they're the last MLS team standing in this tournament. They're taking a lead on the road. Right. Tough place to play. I mean, but they got out of Monterrey in the previous round against Tigres with the second leg being in the suburbs there.
I mean, you've been around pretty long. Would you call this
You call me an old bastard?
No, I'm just saying you've been covering the Crew for a long time now. You know, I know the early days you were doing the Blue Jackets, but you know, do you think this is one of the, you know, most important or biggest game? I mean, obviously, I mean, it's two different competitions and, you know, you got the MLS and got, you know, the other things here and there, but they're on the cusp of doing something pretty, very few. I think Seattle, right?
Yeah.
Was the only team that kind of make it
through. I think it's the game with the highest stature, I think, the Crew will have ever played. Right. Put it in those kinds of terms. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get a star on your on your above your crest for winning CONCACAF Champions Cup. So is it the most important? We could quibble about that. I would say, you know, you set out MLS Cup is what you want to win. Wilfried wants to win a Supporters Shield this year. But this is
next level. Like what's next
in terms of like people and other continents right. will be casting a curious eye this way. I mean,
well, in other continents, this is the equivalent. It's really important, you know, especially over in Europe.
Yes.
You know, the Champions League is probably more important than, and you know, during doing the league play.
And doing it back to back to the MLS Cup, I think will also just raise eyes and his first appearances in either with the Crew. So yeah. It's going to definitely gain a lot of respect if they are able to even just make it to the finals.
Good team, Monterey. I think they're in like fourth place in Liga MX, third.
Yeah, well, they have Brandon Vasquez is doing really well for them. Yep. And that's a known enemy of Columbus.
And it's funny. I made this point in a recent column that, you know, the Crew with all these ties, if you look at the form of Monterey over the last month and a half, it's the same kind of thing. I mean, they're in terms of their league play, they're not in the finest fettle.
Mm-hmm. No, they're up to second now.
They're focused. Yeah. They've been more focused on they've gotten draws and they've lost games at home even, I think.
Right.
And it's the same thing for them. They're very focused on the CONCACAF Champions Cup because, let's put it, like the Crew, they're one game away from being in the final. And winning this gets you an entry into the FIFA World Club Cup, World, whatever they call that, Club.
Yeah.
World the Club Cup, Championship or whatever it is.
World Cup. Yeah, World Club Cup.
Yeah. And if you look who's already qualified for that, I mean, it's a who's who.
Isn't it like, from my understanding, there's four teams that can make it, but only two from each, I have to look it up. It's kind of confusing, but I think that there has to be two MLS teams and two teams from Liga MX, and then there's one host, which I think USA hosts it in next year. So there could be three MLS teams in it.
What's kickoff on Wednesday, Brianna?
It's at 10:15, so that's going to be a late day.
Yeah, 10:15 start, and that's on Fox somewhere, FS1 or something.
FS1 is on. And it's going to be interesting. I think they need to score a goal. They can't just rely. Because
I think Brianna's gone on a limb here that the Crew needs to score a goal.
No, technically, if it ends in a draw, another draw for the Crew, a scoreless draw for the Crew wins them.
They can't get that. They just can't give up that early goal, especially from what happened last time, you know, a couple weeks ago. Just they need to come out strong.
I think. Yeah, you're going to need strong performances, and you need to be attacking more than you did in the first half against Montreal.
Okay, just to backtrack a little bit, Brianna, what did their starting lineup look like on Saturday? Mm-hmm. What were the adjustments? I know you mentioned something earlier, but across the board, and who came off the bench? And looking ahead to Montreal. To Monterey.
That was fun writing.
Yeah, I know. What's the coach saying? What are the players saying? And what do you expect to see in terms of personnel on Wednesday night?
I think Wilfred is always a coach who's always been like, we worry about each game. But I think even he's been like, no, we have to be concerned about the upcoming match against Monterey.
This is one of those deals, Kyle and Brianna, where they go like, no, it's one game at a time. Then after, if they win it, they go like, we really wanted to win that.
It's like, and even he's been though, like the tactical, because I feel like against Montreal and after that first half, normal games, you would have seen Cucho or Rossi come off the bench after halftime. But they had a set time really of like when each player was playing. Six of the starters from Wednesday did not start against Montreal. You didn't have Nagby play at all. You didn't have Camacho play at all. You had Steven Moreira. Yeah, Diego Rossi and Cucho come off the bench, but it was a lot of the usual faces. Like, just were given rest time, and like I said, even after a rough first half,
didn't Nagby end his like match streak?
Salt Lake where he didn't even suit up. Yeah. Cucho couldn't, but then Patrick Schulte, and then your goalkeeper gets injured. But even Patrick Schulte didn't suit up against Salt Lake. So they've definitely been considering
the old LeBron thing.
All right. Well, I look forward. And who do they have on Saturday, Brianna? Again, coming back on short rest. And then
they don't have anyone on Saturday. They have a little break. And then on the next Saturday, it's Hell is Real again.
Crazy.
Cincinnati at lower.com.
It's a fun. These are fun times. I mean, it's only April turning to May.
Yeah.
Yeah. 80 degrees out today.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you guys want to add?
No.
They're not the best color people.
No, actually, I will.
Yeah, oh,
I was going to say, watching the game last week, I had my hot take is I think when everything's said and done.
Kyle's got a hot take.
I think Kucha is going to be your greatest crew player of all time. I mean, I just think the way that he's been like the last year and the, you know, especially if they keep on winning, I think he's taken, the crown of maybe the greatest of all time, obviously if he doesn't transfer out or if he, goes back to Europe or wherever.
Stop but, yelling, you know. Yelling at assistant coaches.
He had some, the one outside the foot cross from the left side, was it into Rossi? Yeah. In the first, I mean, that was just, he just comes up big. He just comes up big in the big moments.
He said after everything that happened with the red card and suspension, that it was the Portland game was the start of a new season for him. And since then he scored, after that he scored a goal against Portland, a goal against Monterey. And he got close in Montreal, even though he only played for about, 30 minutes?
Yeah. But no, that's my, from watching the game, I jotted it down. I'm like, he's going to be the best of all time. Mike might have something to say about that.
No, that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, I think in a very short amount of time, though, I think he's.
Well.
When he first came in, he's Zellerón. So it's kind of like, Zellerón's doing all this other stuff. He's kind of like, the second or whatever. Now, like, since he's been gone,
he's much more dynamic.
Yeah.
Player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think they knew that about him, too. And, they brought in Rossi. Is a different kind of player than De La Raya. And Kucho can play off him. I mentioned it in a recent column, but you watch him hide here and there, he could be anywhere. Central wide, cutting in.
Especially with Russell Rowe up top,
Think he has an easy personality to enjoy, especially as fans and everything. He really is a dynamic person off the field too. He just he has fun. He has a lot of fun. You can tell, especially when he's doing good. He makes it fun to watch and on and off the field.
Yeah, and when he's also a little he's gotten angry at times.
That's good. That's good. Right. Well, I think it's.
Well,
I think
he got suspended.
Well, yeah. I think you want to have that little fire in your best.
It's passion. Yeah. I mean, kind of relating it to.
It's fine.
Like player, I feel like players have passion.
I just hope he maintains that healthy humility that his coach preaches about. I've seen him slip in that area. Great player, though, greatest of all time, potentially. Sure, no question about it.
You got to give it a few more years.
Well, he'll be gone. It's not going to be a few more years. Okay, I just looked this up just for my own edification and just to be sure of it. But so if it's tied on aggregate on Wednesday in the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, first tiebreaker is
rule break. It's a road.
Is greater number of away goals. So that one goal they gave up hurt. Yeah. If it's tied, two 15-minute periods of extra time will be played. Away goals are not taken into consideration in extra time.
Right.
If the aggregate score remains tied after the end of the second 15-minute time, a penalty shootout will be held to determine the winner. Both teams are allowed a sixth substitute in extra time. And in the final, final's a final.
If it's a 1-1 tie on Wednesday, that would that put it 4-3 because the way goals are
well if it's 1-1 it doesn't matter
goals would be even.
Yeah,
right, but if they would have two home goals, so they had three goals
right
total.
They'd win on aggregate
right okay mm-hmm.
if Monterey only scores one goal and Crew doesn't Monterey wins, but then if it's What would it be?
I think the people know. We're just confused.
Yeah. we're making it worse.
His hair like, you know, he's got steam coming out of his head. Well, thank you for joining us for this edition of the Soccer Speakeasy for Brianna McKay. And please, so much wonderful work at Dispatch.com. And the striker, Kyle Robertson. And, of course, at the controls, per usual, is Patrick, the Podfather Flaherty. I'm Mike A-Race. We'll talk to you again soon. Patrick, kick us out of here.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.